Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello, Sis Lulu.
Hi, Zama. Good afternoon to the AWR listeners. Happy Heritage Day
yes,
to you.
Yes, Happy Heritage Day to you. How are you doing?
Thank you. I am good. I'm all revved up coming from a beautiful, beautiful conference with women. So I'm blessed.
Lovely. Oh, lovely. Great to hear that. Well, Sis Lulu, we are going to be having one more relational topic this afternoon. Not one more, actually. It's a beautiful series that we are having. And we again continuing today with you as you share more insights on how we can improve our relationships. And today's topic is conscious about creating safety in the relational space. Sis Lulu, please take us through today's discussion.
Thank you very much. So, the first thing I want to highlight is that last week we spoke about consciousness, and we said we are at that stage where we are awake, where we are no longer expecting things to just roll by. Mm-hmm. We are now more aware that it takes energy and resources to create a beautiful relationship. So, we want to look at the concept of safety. Now, our relationships, Zama, they live in the space between us. There is a space in which the relationship exists. That's you, there is your partner, but there's also this space, this container. Now, it is important for you to be aware that you need to know what energy, what vibe, what are you pouring into the space. This space is meant to be kept sacred, you know. Both of you in the relationship, you are responsible for the climate of the space between. And this space between, by the way, it has to be kept safe and sacred and pure, not just for your sake, but for your children's sake. Because one of my favorite writers, Hedy Slicer, says the relational space is actually the playground of our children. She says if the space is toxic, not only is it hurting us, but it's also contaminating it for the children. Now, remember what I said the other time, that we need to create beautiful marriages so that we'll bring up children who won't spend half of their lifetime trying to recover from childhood wounds. So we need to be aware and conscious about what space are we creating between the two of us. Now, if you want then to create or improve safety in your relationship, the first thing to do is begin by holding the mirror to yourself. What am I contributing to the current status? What do I need to do in order for things to shift? You know, you know, because it always takes one person to provoke a shift in the system. So, Zama, as someone who is in a committed relationship, once in a while, step outside of yourself and observe yourself, your attitudes, your habits, your actions. You may be surprised, actually, by how unkind, disrespectful, your tone, your rudeness, your impatience, how entitled and selfish you are. You may not even be aware that some of the chaos may be a reaction to what you are bringing into the space. So before you, when you look at your partner, before you is a beautiful opportunity to make or to break a person. You know, you more than anyone else on this planet, you have got this enormous impact on your partner. There's a statement by Ellen White that touches me every time I read it. She says in the book Adventist Home, page 43, no one can so effectually ruin a woman's happiness and usefulness and make life a heart-sickening burden as her own husband. And no one can do 100 part as much to chill the hopes and aspirations of a man, to paralyze his energies, to ruin his influence and prospects as his own wife. And she goes on to say, Zaba, in fact, it is from the marriage hour that many men and women date their success or failure in this life and their hopes of the future life. That's powerful.
It's powerful.
So think about it. How safe are you for your partner? How safe is your partner with you? Because, I mean, believe it or not, when your partner looks at you, you are holding a mirror. What mirror are you holding up? What do they see in your eyes? I mean, Because are they allowed to be, and are they allowed to be who they are? Because when they look at you, they are wondering, am I lovable? Am I beautiful? Am I worthy? Do I matter? Do you delight in me? Are you glad I was born? Am I enough for you? So when you have created this relational space that has got safety, your partner is free to be who they are. Your partner is free to be. Your partner is free to grow in this space. But not only is your partner free to grow, your children can play in this space. Your children can grow in this space. Your children can thrive in this space. Whereas if the space is contaminated, it's like there's lemon. So whatever comes in, you know, when you take lemon and you pour it into milk, then you know the water, the milk is just going to become mass. That is how important it is for us to be conscious about the space between us. What vibe, what energy, what am I putting into the space? How is the space between the two of us? What look do we say? What tone? What energy? What's the texture? What is the tone? Because it is so potent that it is enough not just to destroy you guys, but also to destroy your children as well.
Yeah, it's you know, it's actually a very powerful you know, a topic, Wenasis Lulu, and very, very strong words also from you know, the quotation that you gave us from Ellen White. Now, how do the partners begin to create this space? Because we know that hurt people, and I do know that you spoke about, you know, finding healing, etc. Would it be possible to create this space while one has not dealt with themselves, but over and above dealing with themselves, perhaps this couple has had past problems that have not gone through. How do they get to create this space over and above the hurts that they've caused each other in the past?
Okay, great. So one thing I need to remind us about is the fact that we said when we started, we believe that imago has imago actually poses that the marriage itself is a vessel for healing and for growth. So we are always looking at it from both sides. There's healing and there's growth. So you're going to find that when you stretch yourself, when you open yourself up, there are two things that happen. It's either you're providing or opening space up for healing for your partner. At the same time, you are going to grow as you do that. Again, I'm going to refer to the example that I made about myself. You know, coming from a conflicted home where there was a lot of trauma that had not been processed, you know, and I'm closer. I came out with guns blazing. My father was untrustworthy. My father was a womanizer. I'm closer, and no man is going to ever do that to me. I'm loud. I'm ready for a fight. But coming into this relational space with someone who understands my wounds, he brings in gentleness. He brings in tenderness. He brings in safety. Now, as he creates a safety, like, it's okay, you can trust me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to hurt you. And then now I come out, I'm shouting, I'm loud, but he's so tender, he's so gentle. Immediately when I look at him, he actually co-regulates me. And then you find that I modulate now my tone. I'm able to speak to him in a certain way. Now that is healing for me. That is also growth for me. So here are some of the things that are significant.
Yeah.
It's commitment. And if you want to build a safe relational space, you need to commit to intentionality and personal responsibility. You know what? I believe that if it is possible, Sam, for as long as it depends upon me, I need to treat my partner. I need to serve my husband wholeheartedly, and I need to bring peace into the space. So good relationships, they need me to commit. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be intentional now that I know. And secondly, I also need to commit to change and growth. It's not easy. It's not easy. But if I allow the container to do its work, I am going to be able to be like, you know what? Let me not say, if my husband does it, I will do that. If he does not do that, I will not do this. So I need to be like, okay, if it is possible, I'm committing to change. I'm committing to growth. I'm going to be the person who is going to be used by God in this container. I need to commit to my partner and to the relationship. You know, I was telling this in the sword, so to speak, Zaba. You can't like threatening. You know, there are some people in a relationship who are always threatening to leave, always threatening to abandon the ship. I commit to my partner. My partner knows you can count on me. Though there are going to be seasons, there's going to be summer, there's winter, there's spring coming, others, you can count on this one thing. I am going to stay here. I'm going to get up my loins and I'm going to work at this with you. And you also need to commit, Zama, to closing all the exits. You know, exits are any activity or practice that takes energy, that drains space, you know, energy from the space. Anything that is draining energy from the space, whether it is cell phones, it's addiction to work, it's religion, obsessing with children, it's friends, it's extended family, anything. I need to commit that, you know what, anything that is not going to be maybe anything that is subtracting, I'm going to commit. If I know that there is a habit that my husband feels unsettled about, if there is a friend, that's not going to be contributing positive vibe to the space. So I need to commit to doing that.
Mm.
And again, there are some things you need to commit to doing, removing negativity. We're not going to create a safe space for a partner. Make sure that you remove negativity. It can come in the form of criticism sometimes, always fighting, always complaining. The person never does anything right in your eyes. Appreciate. Track your partner. Build a culture of appreciating them. And be gentle, even when you're sharing a frustration. You need to remove contempt from a relationship where you are demeaning, you are ridiculing, you are sarcastic. Your uncle and he makes the other person defensive, which means the space is not safe. You know, the moment I say to my partner, honey, it's something that I would like us to talk about. You should not cringe and shrink and be ready for the daggers. He should be able to open himself up because he knows when I speak, I'll speak in a kind manner. I'm going to speak in a gentle manner. I'm not going to be attacking him. I'm going to speaking to the problem and not to the person. And all of these are some of the things that you can do in order to create this safe relational space where our children are going to play and they are going to thrive.
Beautiful. Now, how important is then self-reflection? You spoke about that earlier in identifying what I am contributing to the sacred space. I mean, there are people who are not good at introspection, who struggle at saying, you know what, man in the mirror and ready to actually look at what is it that is not happening in my space, etc., etc.
Sure. It's very important. However, sometimes that can come as a defense mechanism out of years of being criticized and judged and negatively labeled so that you always have your shield out. But I'm telling you, if the space is safe, then the people are going to lay their weapons down.
Mm-hmm.
If the space is safe, they're going to be able to lay the shield down. So, of course, like I said, it's growth. You know, I spoke to a couple a few days ago. The other one is a cattle. He's always hiding. And the thing about how he can show up a bit. And as he shows up, this other one who's a shark, use a gentle tone. You don't be critical. Don't shout at him because you are drawing him out so that he can be familiar with coming out to play, coming out to engage, knowing that I'm not going to be stabbed. I'm not going to be cut down to size. So yes, reflection is very significant in terms of taking a mirror, looking at myself. How am I contributing to the chaos? What can I do to grow and change? At the same time, your partner also needs to also join the party because sometimes we stonewall, we are defensive because of years of being criticized and critiqued and judged and labeled and spoken to in a demeaning manner. So it takes two to tango. Yes, I need to show up, but when I show up, I need to be gentle with my heart. I need to be gentle with my feelings and emotions.
Now, I hear you saying it takes two to tango, which I think is quite important to make this possible. Can these people do it at separate periods in the course of the relationship, and this remains still effective? Like maybe this one reflects and does all that needs to be done, and while the other partner is just nonchalant, and maybe that other partner catches up maybe 2 years later and also does the same, would it still be effective, or should it be happening concurrently among the partners?
We grow at different levels. We grow differently. We grow differently. And depending also on many other things, some of us are more resilient. Some of us, we are more wounded. So we are even more defensive. However, remember the other time I said, okay, I don't know if I said it here, but let only one of you be crazy, not both of you. Lo, omunye, the other one, let them be sober. What does that mean? You walk in, you're in a bad mood. Things are happening at work. You are banging the door. You are mumbling your greeting. You're going into the bedroom. I can't be like, now what? How can you come out? Yeah, you are good at the office, you have missed a nice gentleman, and walk here. The moment you walk in Zama, I need to look at your face. Oh my word, he's going through a lot. You are forward. He's triggered. There's a lot happening. I may not know. So you walk in, what do I say? I can see you've had a terrible day, What would you like me to do for you? I already know what speaks to you. I know what massages your ego. I know what speaks tenderly and gently to you. Do you see how even though you were out there, triggered, dysregulated, I don't have to be dysregulated. I can co-regulate you. And I'm telling you, if I handle it that way, within an hour or two, you have settled down and you are ready to be a husband at home. However, if you walk in, you are dysregulated, I'm like, I'm not being reflective and I'm not being a good partner. Mm. That can drag the whole night. We can start a war again for the whole night because both of you have decided to become silly. Let one be a teenager and let the other one be an adult. Mm. And then we take turns. I always say to my husband, we always take turns. If I'm crazy, my husband is the one who's going to be very, very well modulated and very regulated. Mm. So my answer to the question is, yes, you can do it co-currently, but there are times when it's not possible because we are not the same when it comes to resilience, to resources, or even to environments and triggers outside. Some of the things that trigger you don't necessarily trigger me. So there's no need for me to go berserk, because I can see you going that way.
Beautiful. Well, Sislulu, I must thank you so much. A fantastic and a very eye-opening. And I do hope that our couples out there are listening and actually enjoying this very rich conversation this afternoon. Thank you so much, Sislulu. We're going to be catching up with you next week again, same time and same place.
Yes, see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you very much for having me. I do wish our couples a beautiful, beautiful, blessed afternoon and marriages that are thriving.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.